Okay, so we're going to start. We're learning Sefer HaKuzari. We're up to Ma'amar Rishon. We're up to Ot Tet, Yud Tet. And there's a link, if anybody wants to follow along, on Safari. I put it in the chat. It's publicly available. You could take a look. You could follow along if you'd like, or you could read it afterwards. We are up to the part of the Kuzari, Ma'amar Rishon, Yud Tet, where the Chaver, Rabbi Yehuda Levi, convinces the Melech HaKuzarim that... He convinces him that Judaism is something that he should look at. The Melech HaKuzarim was not interested at first at exploring Judaism at all. Convinces it's something to look at, and he says that it makes a lot of sense, and we have a Kabbalah, we have a Masoret that explains that it's true, and not only that, but that's why he should follow it. Now, this is in contrast, again, he first consults a Christian scholar and a Muslim scholar, and they don't have proof, and this is the Chaver's proof. And he says, okay, but I need to introduce some things first. And he says as follows. Ilum ulecha, ki melech hodu ish chesed hu. If they would tell you, he gives a mashal, he likes to give a lot of mishalim, a lot of parables. He would tell you, look, if someone told you that the king of Hodu, of India, is a very, very kind man, ish chesed hu, ve'alecha la'aritzol, la'gdil shmola, saber ma'aseh chastov, and therefore, you must admire him, and you must give him honor, and you must talk about how wonderful he is. And all this is based on, well, you know, right, there's a king of India, so you know the Indian people are also good people, and they're honest, and they're wonderful people. So therefore, you should say wonderful things about their king. Would you then see a reason to exalt their king? And so the Kuzari says, why would I do such a thing? Maybe there's, who says there's even a king? Who says, right? Maybe they just happen to be good people. Who says that they happen to be good people because they have a wonderful king? Maybe they just happen to be good people. That could be. Who says there is a king even? Maybe it's a king, maybe it's not. How do you know? You don't know at all. So he says, okay, good. So ulam ilubar elecha malachei ha-melech ha-hu, b'tshirot asher en la'atil safek ba-davar, k'nimtzaot hen ach ve-rak ba-armanot malchei hodu. However, what if you received gifts? You received gifts that were clearly, clearly the only person who could bestow them is the king. Kingly gifts, they're very clearly royal. U'b'michtav asher barur lecha ki-urak mi-melech hodu hu, with a letter that says, it's clearly from the king of India. From the king. India had a king. Right? It's from the king. And it's clear, signed, you know it's accurate. And not only that, there are gifts, there's also medicines that are good for anything that might be wrong with you. There's also poisons against your enemies. There's wonderful things. And you get all these things from him. Shouldn't you then be obligated to give him kavod, and give him honor and respect? And he says, Mamken. He says, obviously, because he asked a safek arishon, the question is, do you have a king? Is clear, right? That would be mistalek mimeni. Vazit ima amin kishivton melech hodu pkudaton nukim gamli. I would realize, not only is there a king of England, of India, there is a king of India, there is also, it's relevant for me. It's relevant for me because he sent me all these wonderful gifts. So the Chaver continues, how would you describe him? You never met him. You've never met this man. You're not even, he could not exist. You're guessing that he exists based on you're inferring he exists based on things that he's done to you. So you can infer that he exists, but you have no proof. So how would you describe him? So he said, Rishona be'otam tarim asher nitbaru etzli mitoch ma'aser ro'enai. I would describe him through the things that I know about him that I experienced. V'achareim, and after that, v'atarim shi'talti b'm safek lifneise. Achareche nichbaru li yali de'ele. And what about, he goes, well, you know, they told me about all the wonderful things he did. I don't know him from anything. And then, much of what I was misupak about, I was doubtful about, so now I know. So I'm going to guess that the rest is also true. So he responds, and this is very fundamental to the Kuzari's entire approach. This is what I answered you originally. He says, this is what, when Moshe Rabbeinu interacts with Paro the first time. He says, who sent you? Elokei ha'ivrim, slachani elecha. Elokei ha'ivrim, the God of the Ivrim. Who's the Ivrim? Ritzonolamar, what does that mean? Elokei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov, right? Because Avraham is known as Avraham ha'Ivri. Presumably because he came from Aver ha'Nahar. He came to Eretz Canaan from the other side of Nahar Prat. Now, the Kuzari himself is going to give a little bit of a different explanation of what Ivri means a little bit later, but fine. So why Elokei ha'Ivrim? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu introduce HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Elokei ha'Ivrim? Why? Ki haya davar ha'avot mefursam az ba'umot. Because people knew about them. People heard about Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Ve'noda ki ha'inyan ha'eloki nitchaber imam. Ve'ishgiach aleihem ve'asa lahem niflaot. And they had this inyan ha'eloki. Inyan ha'eloki, this idea of godliness. Now, the Kuzari is going to spend a lot of time on the inyan ha'eloki and what exactly does that mean and how exactly is it transmitted. But not yet. He just explains that everybody knew these people, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, people knew about them. And they knew that they had a connection with God. And that God took care of them. So, v'lachen, lo amar lo Moshe leparo, Elokei ha'shamayim va'aretz v'chani elecha. Moshe doesn't tell Paro, oh, the God who created the heaven and the earth. And he doesn't say, bor'i borachas v'chani elecha. He doesn't say, the one who created me and you sent me. He relates to Paro in a way that Paro could relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning, he tells Paro, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the God of something that you're aware of. You know that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were godly people. It's their God. All of that which they stood for, they said it was from God, him. So they have some frame of reference. Now, Paro doesn't know God, but he knows Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and therefore, he can infer something about it. Similarly, when Hashem himself reveals himself at Har Sinai, what does he say? Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzeiticha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Hashem, the first dibur in the Aseret HaDibrot is I took you out of Mitzrayim, right? V'lo amarani borei ha'olam u'barachem. He doesn't say I created the world. Didn't that come first? Clearly creating the world came first before creating Am Yisrael, before taking them out of Mitzrayim. And nonetheless, Hashem begins with, I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu who took you out of Mitzrayim. Why? Because it's something that Am Yisrael could relate to more directly. And he says, V'chein patach deni b'shivcha lach sar ha'kozarim. And the Chaver says to the Melech HaKozarim, to the Kozari, this is what you, when you asked me about my faith, what did I say? Ma'um davar m'chayev oti v'mchayev et kol Am Yisrael? What obligates me and all of Bnei Yisrael to follow Torah and mitzvot? Something that they saw, they witnessed. And this was then transmitted generation to generation. They were there at Yitziat Mitzrayim. They were there at Har Sinai. They experienced it. They knew it to be true because they saw it. And they told their children, and their children told their children, and their children told their children, until us. And therefore, it's something that I know about because it's something that I can relate to. So I think he's actually making two points. The first is he relates to Paro, and Moshe Rabbeinu relates to Paro, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to Am Yisrael when they're discussing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence in the way that relates to them, something that Paro could relate to. He knew about Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the Rabbi Yehuda Levi is telling us. And therefore, he's describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that, similarly to the King of India, you've never met him, you don't know anything about him, but if I tell you things that he did, you can then relate to him. So too, if I tell you about Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, which are things that Paro knew that Hashem did with them, he could then relate to them. So to Am Yisrael, doesn't want to go back to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, something that they themselves related to. Paro had no way to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Moshe Rabbeinu had to tell him about people he knew that had a direct relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Am Yisrael Har Sinai directly related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Yitziat Mitzrayim. That's even far more impressive, and therefore they are able to describe him based on what he did. But moreover, the second point is we who did not experience Yitziat Mitzrayim firsthand, right? We're told about it, but we know about all of that which happened. Since we know about all of that which happened the same way, we have never experienced, we never met the King of India, but we know if he gave us all of these gifts and these wonderful things, what we can relate to him as, so too we, who have the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, and we know that it happened, we can therefore relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by those descriptions as well, as relating to him who did all of these things. But the Kozari responds, if that's true, that you are obligated, he says to the Chaver, you are obligated in Torah and Mitzvot because he took you out of Mitzrayim, so that relates to you and Am Yisrael. He's not Jewish, the Kozari, the Melech HaKozarim. He goes, that's not universal. Religion should be universal, shouldn't it? Shouldn't it? Shouldn't it apply to everybody? And the Chaver says, no. Omnam ken? You're right. Kol mishin l'vay elenu min almot ki yachid yivo eo min atov asher etiv imanu eloha aval shavo lo yishve elenu. He says, yeah, there's a fundamental difference. We accept converts. We do. Wholeheartedly. But it's not the same depending where you started. Ki imaya chiyuv, and he'll discuss this more at length a little bit later. This is just an introduction to the line. He says, ki ilu haya chiyuv min atorah mitzad ma she'eloha bara et kulanu hayu shavim ba kol bnei adam kalavan kashachar ki kulam borim mitbarach. If the Torah was just, if we had to follow the Torah because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, so then you'd write. He created all of us, we'd all be equally obligated. He says, and this is fundamental to Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi's position, Ulam chiyuv haTorah aleinu mitzad ma shehotzeinu Eloha mimitzrayim, umitzad hayot lo yitchaburut imanu, yotenu sekulat bnei adam. He says, we are responsible to do the mitzvot because Hashem chose us and took us out of Mitzrayim. And he has a relationship with us, and therefore we have a relationship with him. And he's going to discuss this more and more and more, but the Kozari is upset. He says, "Royani otcha Yehudi mitapech b'dvarecha ki acharei asher haya kvar ma'amarchav na'e shav liot pagum." He's like, "Look, the Kozari tells him, look, I like what you had to say originally, but now you're telling me all this selectivity, exclusivity. This doesn't sound very good. Shouldn't religion be universal? Shouldn't religion, the truth, if religion's the truth after all, shouldn't it be something that everybody has access to? So now you told me, oh, you could prove, you have proof to follow Hashem's word, but now you're telling me that the proof only relates to some people." So there's 2 points. First of all, it may not relate to the Kuzarim at all, to the people who aren't Jewish. That's fine. Okay. But he's upset by it. The Melech HaKozarim is effectively telling him that if religion is truth, then shouldn't it relate to everybody equally? Shouldn't we all be obligated equally? And Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi is, I mean, he's setting this up. He sets up all the questions. He's setting it up because he's going to have to explain how does this work. There's this concept of Am HaNivchar. There's this concept of we are chosen. There's a concept of we have 613 mitzvot. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave the nations of the world only 7. So there's a difference. So you have to understand how it works. And the Chaver tells him, look, I'll explain. I'll explain how everything works out. And there's a lot of explanation till he gets to all of this. But he deals with all of these details as somewhat of the introduction. He deals with all of these details as the Sefer progresses. So he says, okay, so let me start with some things. So the Chaver says, and he gets into a little bit of a philosophical discourse. He says, "Halo todeki ainyan tivi shemimenu mitchayvim lekichat amazon agidul vaholada hem bekochotehem vechol tnaehem nidyachadu b'otzmachim u'balechayim lo adama v'avanim hamachzavim v'yesodot." He explains, he's using some constructs of medieval philosophy where he's used to, and he says, "Look, there's a difference in quality between certain things that were created." Right? There are things that are alive and things that are not. He's using a little bit different terminology. Eating, procreating, things like that are different, right? Plants and animals have them, but not dirt and not rocks. Okay, so there's a qualitative difference between living things and non-living things. Because, yeah. And he says, "Ub'inyana nafshi shemimenu mitchayvim," and even among the living things, there are qualitative differences, right? Tnuot or tzunot or midot v'choshim chitzonim u'pnimim, right? Animals have movement and a will and a desire and senses, right? Whereas plants do not, presumably. He says, yeah, okay, good. So living things are different than non-living things, and animals are different than plants. He says, yeah. V'ilu ha'adam nitechad mikol ba'alei ha'chayim b'inyan ha'sichli. He says, and humans are qualitatively different. Kozari has a view of human exceptionalism. Humans are qualitatively different. Tikkun amidot, v'acharechen tikkun inyanei habayit, v'acharechen tikkun inyanei hamedina, v'kacha kama amunot hanagat hamedina, v'itach chukim hanogim hamedina. Politics, society, we don't see that in a structured way among the animal kingdom. We see that in humanity, right? We structure our society differently. Now animals have some structure to their society, but it's very different. We view them in a zoo, they don't view us in the zoo. There's a difference, right? We believe tikkun amidot. we have an ability to perfect our character traits, and we view there's a concept of shleimut, the concept of perfection that a person can act towards. There's a difference between humans and animals. And he says, yeah. And he says, and what about that? So the Kozari says, what's above that? What's above humanity? He says, Madrigat hachachamim agdolim. Meaning wise people are above that. So what does that mean? So the Chaver says, Eineni mitkaven kim madrigam avdilat be'alei avdala atzmit, ki badel atzemach min adomem, uki badel ha'adam min abehema. Ulama he badlut berav o bimat en lagvul, ho ilvi avdala mikrit, veina madriga al derech emet. He says, well, no. Chachamim are different in quantity, not quality, right? Animal, living things are different than non-living things in the quality. There's something fundamentally different about them. And animals are different than plants in a fundamental way. And humans are different than animals in a fundamental way. Wise scholars are not different than a boor than a ma'aretz in a fundamental way, just in a quantitative way. They're just more smart than other people. So he says, okay. So the Kuzari says, but there's nothing above humanity, then fine. So the Chaver responds, Vimi matze ben adam, asher yavo ba'esh v'lo tisrafeu. If there's a person who can go into fire and not get burned, and he can stand for a long time and not eat and won't get hungry, and his face will radiate a light unlike regular light, something that's clearly reflective of a supernatural force. He'll never get sick or weak. And he'll die on command. Exactly when it has to be, when he knows. And more than that, not just physical, what seems to be a physical perfection. More than that. He can tell you what was and what will be. Isn't that qualitatively different? That's not just more. You know, some people have a higher heat, their tolerance. Some people can touch a fire, some people touch for another second, some people touch for 2 seconds. But if we're talking about someone who could live through fire, or someone who cannot eat for 40 days and 40 nights, that's not just more, that's qualitatively different. That's fundamentally different. And if that person has knowledge of the past and the future, that's fundamentally different. It's not like us, we're guessing, we don't know. So the Kozari writes, if such thing could exist, Elokit Malachiti, that's supernatural. Supernatural. He's using a different language, but it's above nature. It's above humanity. That is qualitatively different. And he says, that's not about wisdom or knowledge. That's how he says, Inyan HaSichli is how he differentiates humans from animals. HaNafshi, animals from plants. O'ativi, living creatures from non-living creatures. Kim bechok ha'inyan ha'eloki. That is about the inyan ha'eloki. That is something that clearly comes from God, and that's something he's going to discuss a lot in Ma'amar Hei, which we have quite a ways to get to. Okay, so the Chaver says, Ein eloki machadim ita reoto ha'navi, asher en cholek al nevuato. He says some of that is just a little bit of a taste of the Navi who no one disagrees with, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu. It's through Moshe Rabbeinu that we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a relationship with people. Right? And it's through Moshe Rabbeinu that we know that if we follow Hashem's mitzvot, there is a positive effect from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we don't, there's negative. Navi zehu asher hesir pnei halot me'al ha'avar. This is the same Navi who removed the mask, who removed the covering from the past. He also revealed to us how the world was created. Now, nobody was there. And how the genealogy of people, the lineage of people happened. Moshe Rabbeinu gave us the Torah, Sefer Bereishit, right? Parshat Bereishit, Parshat Noach, how we get all the way to Abraham. The history of humanity. How we have different languages. And where people live. The end of Parshat Noach. And he says, this is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Navi through which we got this Torah. And he says, He sets up, Rabbi Halevi already is setting this up. He's saying, look, you already agreed that if such a person could exist who has these characteristics, he clearly has this inyan ha'eloki. He's not a regular person. He's not part of regular humanity. He has attained this inyan ha'eloki. It's qualitatively different. He attains something divine and supernatural. And he then has the ability to transmit it to us. Because the challenge is if there is truth to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which Rabbi Halevi is trying to tell us, right, we believe, then how do we know what to do? How could we possibly know what to do? It has to be only through someone who could attain that level. Now, the Kozari and the Chaver, in fact, are going to say that they have not reached that level. They can't do it. And if I can't do it, so then I don't know. But effectively, they're saying, yes, but Moshe Rabbeinu did. Moshe Rabbeinu did, and people were there to see it. That's going to be his proof later. People were there to see it. Since people were there to see it, and Moshe Rabbeinu attained that level, you agree that he had this inyan ha'eloki. So that which he tells us is accurate. That which he tells us is accurate, we have proof for that. He'll get into that later. And therefore, because he had these characteristics, and he told us about what happened before, and it's all true, and he'll show that in a moment, we believe that the Torah he told us is also true. So the Kozari takes a break for a moment. He says, "Avset amom, namish etzachem inyan barum b'riat ha'olam?" He says, wait a minute. Do you have, he's asking the Chaver, do you have a Masar, do you have a tradition of when the world was created? He says, yeah. Yeah, we agree. We agree. We do this. And there's no disagreement, really. And he explains, so how old is the world? So he tells him 4,500 years old. Okay, this is written a little bit ago. He says, he says, yeah, you could do the whole math based on the Torah. You could calculate the math until Yetziat Mitzrayim. You could calculate until they entered Eretz Yisrael. And if you're looking in the Neviim, you can calculate all the way through. You can calculate all the way through. Through at least the Chorban Bayit Rishon, which is in Tanakh. After Chorban Bayit Rishon, there's almost still building of Bayit Sheni. Then the Gemara has to fill in a little bit of the Masoret, exactly how it gets into. He may get into that a little bit later. But he explains more right now, and he takes this opportunity. He's not so interested in precisely the year itself right now, but he says something very specific. He's talking about the lineage, the genealogy of the people. Because if you read Parshat Bereishit and Parshat Noach, it gives you this genealogy of the people, and frankly, it's kind of boring. It could just tell you, you know, it lists the list of people, this one after that one, after this one after that one. And presumably, there were more people. The Torah chooses to list only the people who lead up to the story. And he explains why. Kigarina prila adam v'chiskulato, right? Meaning, the Torah only gives us the essence of what that person passed on. What does that mean? Ulekol achad mehem ayu gam banim acherim. Everybody had lots of children, but the Torah only chooses one descendant. Shelo ayu inkim klipa legarin v'lo damu la'avotam ad kedei itchaber ha'inyan ha'eloki bahem. The inyan ha'eloki was passed on from father to son, but not father to all the sons. Only to one. Adam, Teshet, Enosh. They all had multiple children, but the Inyan HaEloki was only transmitted from father to one son. Everybody else was like a klipa lagarin, was like a shell or a peel to the kernel. V'lachen nimnam inyan l'fi ha'elokim b'levat. So the Torah only gives us the list of those through whom this Inyan HaEloki was passed down. Kol el ayu yechidim, lo kibbutzim. They were all individuals, not groups. Ad asher holid Yaakov yudbet shvatim. Until Yaakov had 12 sons, shekulam hayu ra'uyim l'inyan ha'eloki. Yaakov was able to pass it to all 12. Ve'az nitkalta elakut b'chibutz. This is the first time that the inyan ha'eloki is in multiple people in the same generation. U'me'az nimna minyan l'fiyem. And that's what we start counting from. Monim anachnu shnot ha'kadmonim l'fi ma shenimsar lu mitra Moshe aleinu ala shalom. Yodim anu ma sheyamim Moshe v'ad yom hazeh. We count based on, from Moshe Rabbeinu told us what happened before then, and we count from then on, because Moshe Rabbeinu got this inyan ha'eloki from his father, and then it was already spread to all of Bnei Israel. And he'll explain a little bit later, why is it that Yaakov was able to transmit it to all of his children, whereas Abraham didn't, Yitzchak didn't, Aram does not give transmits this inyan ha'eloki to Yitzchak, and not to Ishmael. Yitzchak transmits it to Yaakov, and not to Esav. Yaakov now transmits it to all 12. This is the notion in the Gemara that Yaakov is mitato shelema. Mitato shelema, his bed is full. I mean that each one of his children was ra'ui lakach. each one of his children got this. The Kuzari would tell us, the Rabbi Levi, that he got the Inyan, Eloki. Now the Kuzari responds, Pirut kazem archik min alevet asafek hara, panyesh bazei kazav uknunya. So he says, well, this gets rid of the thought that people are making stuff up. Why? He says, look, if you had 10 people get together and make this up, it's not going to work. If they made up a story, it's not going to work. No one's going to believe them. Why? He says, Moshe Rabbeinu told them this. It wasn't so long after they know these stories to be true. They know Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They know all of this. It's not, if someone would have told them, you know, in the first generation of Mitzrayim, you know, there was a man named Yaakov and he got us here. And like no one there knew who Yaakov was or ever heard of him. They wouldn't believe him. But they knew Yaakov. They knew the Shvatim. Many of them may have even met Yitzchak. They knew this. And he goes on, the Chaver says, Omnam Kenu, that's true. Avraham Atzmoyad ben Dora Palaga. Avraham was alive when Migdal Bavel happened. Ulam hu krovavi Moshe, mar lishon Ever Savo. Alkenik Rabbi Shem Ivri. He's called Ivri because he kept the language of Ever, right? Shem va'Ever. Ever is Shem's son. Avraham kept the language of Ever, so he's called Inyan ha'Ivri, right, from before. Ukshaba Moshe, 400 years later, he says, they already knew this. It wasn't new for them. They investigated. They didn't just believe Moshe Rabbeinu, but the Kul v'chakaru. Doesn't say this in the Torah that Rabbi Levi is telling us. Right? They weren't sure. Is this possible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will talk to multiple people? And they weren't sure until the Asarat HaDibrot. Okay. Kach nagu bo bnei amo. These are Am Yisrael. Didn't they believe that's how they acted also? Not because they were foolish. They were wise. Moshe Rabbeinu did miracles. They saw the Aseret HaDibrot, the Eser Makot. And they said, you know, it looks like God, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's not. How do we know that God talks to people? Moshe Rabbeinu said so. How do we know? How do we know it's true? Now, the challenge is the Psukim say Ve'aminu b'Hashem of Moshe Avdo at Kiryat Yamsuf. So he's going to have to deal with that. He deals with Kiryat Yamsuf a little bit later. Fine. Right? V'ilo enyan eloki kazavim zukak asher b'ed ha'b'chinayim etz erach kol dinar shelo gadol kiflayim. When the enyan eloki has to be pure and understood and proven. V'ech yaleh l'adad ki anashim ka'eli kablu et ha'sibor she'sibor le Moshe ki lefnei 500 shana hayeta ba'olam rak lashon evir bilvad. How would they believe that Moshe Rabbeinu came up with the story that 500 years earlier there was only one language and then it split? And therefore all the nations can trace their lineage back to Shem, Cham, and Yefet. And that's why they live in different places. Would we believe something? People were there, particularly in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. People lived over 100 years. They were there. They knew these stories to be accurate. They at least heard something about them. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't coming up with stuff that's crazy. They knew that it sounded true. These are stories that they heard from their grandparents. It's not crazy. They may not have all the details. They may not have known all the nations from where, but they heard these stories. They knew. Moshe Rabbeinu, right, was telling them things that were not so old. The Yitzhak Mitzrayim happens in the year 2448 to Briat HaOlam. Nonetheless, it was not so long in terms of generations. They knew these things. We would never believe if someone made up, you know, the United States was founded, you know, 800 years ago. We're like, what are you talking about? You weren't there anyway. That's true, I wasn't there anyway. But people I know who know people who know, who know people who knew people who were there. Like, we have accurate stories about these things. You can't just come up and make stuff up. You want to tell me a million years ago something? Okay, fine. But something in our recent memory, he says, couldn't happen. And he agrees. And we'll pause here. The verse I'm not even know to. He says, we have proof about what these things happened. How could you make up lineages and languages and writing and the font and the language. You can't make up these things. People would know it's false. They pick up on the fact you're making this stuff up. It's just not true. He says, so the Chaver responds, he says, yeah. And the Egyptians also wanted to verify that it's true, because the Jews also wanted to verify that it's true. So he sees that these are proof that they knew these things. They checked them. They verified them, right? They verified them because they wanted to make sure it was accurate. And they saw that it made sense. These things made sense. It wasn't so far ago, long ago, that these stories were out of their frame of reference. Since they were in their frame of reference, they were making sense to them. These were things that they could relate to. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't telling them things that were outlandish. They would never have accepted it if it seemed far off and crazy. It seemed to them like it made sense because they knew the history. They knew at least vaguely, if not all the details, they knew enough to be able to tell if it was true or false. And because it was in their recent memory, it was in the recent history, they believed it. And this is going to be one of his proofs that it has to be something that's early set on, something that develops later. He's implicitly arguing against religions that develop later as having an accurate source, although Christianity and Islam are going to base themselves on Judaism. So they're going to at least relate to the fact that we have this, because relating it to something that he says, it must be true. He's trying to prove his general idea is that Am Yisrael as a whole, over 2 million people, witnessed something, they knew something to be true and transmitted that to their generations, generation after generation. And if so many millions of people accepted it as truth, when they could have investigated and they could have known and it made sense to them, then the fact that it may be questioning to us now is not prove anything. Because when they were then there, it made a lot of sense, it was logically proven, and it was something that they witnessed. We'll talk about the Har Sinai, he'll get to that, how they witnessed it, and they knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitchaber el bnei adam. So we're going to pause here, we're going to up to Ota Nun Gimel, and Bezrat Hashem next week, we will continue. Have a wonderful evening.